So let's read the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, my brothers, you who I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead, say plead. I plead with you, dear. And I plead with Syntyche, two women. I plead with you, dear. One means lucky and one means success. And lucky and success don't get on, do they? Because some of you here have been successful and some of you have been lucky. And the successful ones look at the lucky ones and think, I had to work hard. I plead with you, dear, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Wendy Virgo says this, that women are powerful in a church. They can be a tremendous asset or a huge liability. They can influence the whole ambience of a church. We've got to preach the Bible. We've got to preach these little verses. We've got to see what God is doing. You see, up until this point, Paul takes on the role of an accountant. I didn't have a great time, sorry. And don't get cross with me, I'm just using an illustration. He puts on the accountant role and he says, let's look at the balance sheet of this whole thing. And he says, when we look at the balance sheet, in our old life, there were things that we would put in the loss column and the things that we would put in the profit column. But when we look at what Jesus has done, we swap the columns around. You see, in the past, I studied under Gamaliel. I was ahead of my class. I was a Benjamite. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I studied and all these amazing success stories he put into the prophet column. I've worked really hard. And then he sees Jesus and he swaps them around. He says, whatever I counted to my gain, I now count as loss. And I put Jesus into the prophet column. Jesus is the only one that brings us into profit. Amen? And we have to make sure, friends, when we do the balance sheets in the church, we got to make sure that Jesus is in the profit column and everything else is in the loss column. And if we swap those things around, we don't actually get the free gift of righteousness. We've got to work for it. And then he has this long distance view. He says, forgetting what is behind, I press on to lay hold of that. It's like I get rid of all this stuff. He puts the accountant role aside and he takes on the visionary role and he says, guys, we're aiming for heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. You guys are getting caught up with all sorts of stuff here. We need to get a view of heaven and all this stuff's got to take its rightful place. And then he takes the binoculars off and he takes his accountant hats off. And he looks at the church and he says, but dear friends, my beloved, my crown, that word is Stephanos. It is the wreath that got laid upon the guy who won the gold medal at the Olympics. He says, when I look at you, he said, it's almost like I've got a gold medal around my neck. He says, you know what? We've done the accounts. We've done the maths. We know where we're going. But when I look at you, my beloved, there's some relational tensions that need to be dealt with. It's the thing that will completely wipe the church out. I believe, you've seen, we had two women worship leading. We had a woman reading from the scriptures. I think we've got a very open policy around women. But I want to share to you again the importance and the vitality of women in the life of the local church as a benefit or as a liability. We don't know what they were arguing about. Paul never tells us what they were arguing about. He just says, I plead with you and I plead with you to sort this thing out because it's affecting the whole church. He says, I pray that you will agree with each other in the Lord. Say in the Lord. That is the redemptive name of God. That's the God who came to them in Egypt in a very confined space and rescued them out of it and took them into a spacious place where it says a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, if you have got relational tensions, I'm not saying they're relational tensions. I'm just saying we're preaching the Bible and God has to take us through these texts and these texts have got to be relevant to us and we've got to search our hearts and ask ourselves, are there any Judeas and Syntykes in our lives? You see, what they do here so powerfully is they face the facts. He doesn't bypass it. He doesn't put it under the rug. He faces it and he faces it publicly. What we do as Christians many times, our default setting is just to run. It's just to bolt, to go. Woo! And some of you are here because you never resolved relational tensions in your previous church. And so the best thing to do is just leave and have a fresh start at 3CI. It will catch you. It will catch you. If it doesn't catch you this month, it will catch you next month. But it will catch you. And this is my preach to you. Go back and resolve it. I plead with you. Go back and, oh yes, we've done the accounts. We've done the maths. We know Jesus. We know where we're going. But I plead with you, deal with relational issues. Because the moment you have relational tension, the Lord, who is spacious by nature, becomes constricted by relational tension. How do I know this? You have an issue in church, you walk into this tent, very big tent, person you've got a problem with, and you say, I'm not going to go past there, I'm not going to go to the kids' ministry, I'm not going to go and get coffee, I'm just going to bypass it. Amen? There is a phenomenal responsibility on the woman of this church to extend the gospel into Pretoria and beyond. Yeah. The Bible is full. It mentions many, many, many women by name. Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla is a phenomenal woman. She never has children. It doesn't tell us why she doesn't have children. Maybe she couldn't have children, or she decided that the extension of the kingdom was what her and her husband were called to. But she set up home, she set up business, she set up a church, and then she pioneered and she left and she got on a ship and she went to another place and she set up another church with her husband. Powerful, pioneering woman. We don't want to get labeled into you must stay at home and look after your kids. Friends, there's a new day, but the Bible is full of a new day of women. This church is planted by a businesswoman called Lydia, whose heart gets opened by God, and now he stops the whole thing dead in its tracks and say, a woman planted this church, God is using her powerfully, but some crotchetiness has got into other women that is going to cost this church its inheritance. Amen? We think of dear Jezebel. Not calling anybody Jezebel. But I was reading the story of, I've been looking at every woman in the Bible these last few. Jezebel, this unbelievable outpouring of God in 1 Kings chapter 18. God moves, water gets consumed, sacrifice gets eaten up, bad people die. And Jezebel does not change one little bit. She's completely unmoved by the power of God hitting a church. And sometimes, friends, we can become so hard-hearted that when God moves powerfully, we become completely unchanged. I want to say to you, when God works, keep your heart soft to the doings of God. Amen? Amazing story of Lois and Eunice. I was going to preach. I got my grand's Bible. This week, my mum had it rebound, and she sent it up to me as a gift. Lorna Martin. Anglican ministers and his wife. My gran and grandpa preached in Sunnyside, Pretoria in the Anglican church for many, many, many years. Who knew? Yeah. 50 years later that their grandson would come and preach in the same city. I've got this godly woman. No one will know Lorna Martin. But I went through her Bible this week, underlined scriptures, stories, prayer requests, prayer giving, newspaper cuttings, cards, sayings. Just opened this thing and I thought, maybe you're just a granny in this church. And maybe your job is just to pass the faith on to your daughter, who will pass it on to her son, and maybe he will become a preacher. but do what God has called you to do. Because God highlights these people. He highlights single girls. He talks about older women teaching younger women. And it says, so that the word of God might not be maligned. That word, friends, is where we get our word malignancy from. If you're sitting, when it says, not too much wine, not too much gossip, but teach the word of God. If you're sitting around your coffee shop and your glass of wine and you're gossiping, friends, it is like releasing cancer into the church. It says, do not malign the word of God. Are you serving God or are you listening to the devil? I'm just preaching the text. These are not bad women. These are good women. These are women that have served for a long time in the church. They've counted for God. They've won many victories. This is one of the great texts about women's inclusion in the church, showing that women are absolutely vital for the forward momentum of the gospel. They say, actually, something's crept. I don't know, was it jealousy? Was it somebody actually is a better singer than the other? When you see Rihanna on the stage with a guitar, you think, I would love some of that. Or can we actually celebrate that God has gifted a girl? Or do you hold something in your hand, in your heart? That's what he's dealing with here. He's saying you've got crotchety. You've got the issues, the car you drive or the plastic surgeon you use. I don't know what the issues are. I don't know what's upsetting you. But you know the amazing thing, yeah, is Paul never takes sides. He doesn't say you're right and you're wrong. He doesn't take sides. He just says, actually, you've got to sort it out. It's affecting our togetherness. Never actually says what it is. I think if it is theological, he would have dealt with it because Paul always deals with theological indifference. I think if it is moral, one looking at another man's husband, I think he would have dealt with it because he deals with moral issues. I think a little thing has crept into their hearts and they're boxing underground. There's just some issue in their hearts. Yeah? But what he does do is he does deal with it. And he deals with it publicly. So we've got to presuppose that the condition of this fellowship was greater than the condition of our fellowship. Who's someone that you work with? Roy, why don't you stand? Roy? And Stefan, sorry to embarrass you if you don't mind standing. This is an example. It's Roy's boss. This fellowship was so, we know the prophet and we know the righteousness of Christ. We know that this is Jesus and that's all lost. We know we're going for heaven. We know. But I just want to say to you, publicly, Stefan and Roy, you've got to sort it out, guys. You've got to sort it out. Because your working relationship, what's happening in the office, is affecting the church. You've got to sort it out. I plead with you, Stefan. Sort it out. I plead with you, Roy. Sort it out. It's very embarrassing. Unless there is a foundation in place of openness. You may be seated. And if we did that publicly, there's no issue between those two people. If we did that publicly with some people in the church who had an issue, I bet they would either get offended with me, cross with me, or leave. We then have to ask, are we building a New Testament church? Or are we just building another preaching center where people come, hear the word of God, appease their conscience, and leave? I don't want that. I want a church where people know me because inside of me, friends, is good, bad, and ugly. I know I'm saved. I've done the profit and loss. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. But inside of me is good, bad, and ugly. That means I should be in some form of fellowship, an intimate relationship where people can address me publicly if need be. And I deal with it. The second thing, I believe he presupposes is that the gospel really is the primary issue in their lives and not their own forward momentum. You see, there are two very influential women in the Bible. One's name is Eve and one's name is Mary. And Eve listened to the enemy, saw the fruit, thought it would promote her, it would get her going forward, it would help her cause, it would sort her career out, took the fruit and ate it and wreaked havoc. Mary listened to God, said, "Here I am, do as you wish." Saw what I believe was the fruit on another tree. And everything as a mother inside of her wanted to pluck that fruit off the tree. And she left it there and released a blessing. Unbelievable blessing. Into the earth. You see, if you're at the center of your own world, these kind of accusations, these kind of teachings, these kind of confrontations are completely off limits. But if the gospel is in your heart, then these things are absolutely vital. Because friends, we have to presuppose that this is a gospel hermeneutic. What does that mean? It means when Pretoria look at 3CI, and they see the condition of our relationships and the depths of our relationships and the authenticity of our relationships, they will be able to say, surely God is there. They will be able to look at us and say, that's what the gospel looks like. Because there's no point in us having relational issues in our heart, worshiping together, enjoying God together, but sitting on either sides of a room because actually you're not prepared to deal with something in your heart. Amen? Not easy, eh? Let's go back to the text. I plead with you, dear, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. It means to have the same mindset, to have the same goal. We're going to the Kruger Park. The way I work, I go onto the N4, fast as possible, straight down the N4, don't stop anywhere, get to the Kruger. I've got mates who go Dahlström and the Annaström and Hedeström, and then they also get to the park. He's not saying to you, you all have to do it the same way. He's saying, he just wants you to have the same goal. We're not going to all worship the same way, but you've got to have the same goal. Our goal is to make Jesus Christ King of Pretoria. That's our goal. Some of you are going to go through business. Some of you are going to go this way. But we're all on the same page, on the same team, with the same goal. I plead with you. I plead with you. Don't change the goal. Keep the goal the same. I plead with you in the Lord. Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Just for a little, as a little side thing, he just throws eternity into place. He says, you know what? You're going to spend the rest of your lives together, Judea and Syntyche. The rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. Part of me says, I hope I never see him ever in my life again. He says, you're going to spend the rest of your life. So you better make sure you work it out here. You better work it out here. Are there relational tensions in this church? Not that I know of. But this is one of the ways that the church gets completely broken. This incredible mission. He says that Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he took on the nature of a servant. And now he's saying, you two ladies are very influential in the church. Sort it out, because the gospel needs to go forward in Jesus' name. I'll ask you just two questions. Number one, Is there a Judea or a Syntyche in your life? It might be your boss. It might be your mother-in-law. It might be your sister. It might be somebody who's more gifted than you in this church. And secondly, are you committed to a true New Testament Bible community? Or do you just want to come and go as you like? Because we want a place where we are known and we know you, where it's authentic. That what you see here is good, bad, and ugly, but we believe Jesus enough that I will change and so will you. So that this will become a gospel hermeneutic to Pretoria. When people look at us, they'll say, surely, surely, God is there. Not an easy preach, but I trust you will take it to heart. Put things in place. In Jesus' name.